The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. It is beautiful out here again. It is summertime. We are in the midst of summer. Red Sox are playing well. Patriots look like they're starting to put this team back together again. There's not any much of these worries anymore. Celtics look like they've got their future in hand. And I guess the Bruins are doing okay. I really don't follow them. But it's pretty good. Look, a lot of things going on here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, too. I don't know if you've heard the new radio station changes that are going on over here. We're keeping it local. We are all over the place here, all over the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. We got a great show that comes up right after mine called Wicked Bites, finding you flavors and foods and all sorts of different types of eats right here on the North Shore in Merrimack Valley. And there's plenty of theater. There's plenty of beachwear, the beach things to do, outdoor activities. Go up to Rockport. Go to Gloucester. Go canoeing down the Ipswich River. Head up to the mountains. Go see at the music theater. I think Peter Pan's coming out next week. I think that's coming. I think it's Peter Pan that's coming. Lots of things. Lots of theaters. Lots of great shows. And hey, here's something that's really fun. Really fun to do. You want to hear local music. Over at the North Shore Mall. And I know I talk about the North Shore Mall a lot because my office is right across the street from that, 41 Cross Street, just above Alto Forno Restaurant. There's a whole bunch of new restaurants that are popping in over there. There's a Tony C's, there's a Bancroft, there's a Cafe Nero, a bunch of others. There is an area that they're now calling the Promenade, and that promenade will ultimately run from the Bancroft all the way down to Macy's. What they have to first do is blow up Sears, and that's going to be happening soon, trust me. There's going to be just a big open space there. That's going to be a parking lot where Sears is. And to the left of where Sears is, that's where, what's it called? Some fitness store. It doesn't matter. Anytime Fitness, I think it's called. But it'll connect the whole way along, and you'll be able to walk it. But they have a stage outside in front of Tony C's right now. And every Friday and every Saturday from 5 to 7, there's live local bands that are playing out there. You can go and listen to live local music, hang out, have a drink at Tony C's, go have some coffee over at Cafe Nero. There's outdoor chairs, there's activities, a lot of fun stuff to do. It's just a family night out, hang out around the mall. Just, I mean, yeah, when your kids say, hey, mom and dad, we're going to the mall. Now there's something to do at the mall. You can all do it together. So lots of great things going on there. But we are here in studio each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Hey, funny story about that. I was out getting tile for, we're redoing a shower in our house. And so we're over at Tony's Imported Tile over in Stoneham. Tony's Imported Tile. I've been there several times, but this time I went over there and I met this woman by the name of Carrie, who I guess has been there for a very, very long time. We're talking and she helps us pick out the tile because, you know, you see this, there's a million tiles out there. It's like someone just pick it out for me. Really? I'm not going to look at it that closely ever again. Just pick out what I want. So she helps us through this thing, and my wife Laura is there figuring out what sizes to get, all that kind of stuff. And then Carrie turns to me and she says, are you him? I go, huh? You know, that guy on the radio, are you him? And Laura says I blushed. I think she was talking about this show. So yes, Carrie, if you're listening, so hi. That's me on the radio. So yes, I did say it was me. And thanks for tuning in and enjoying the radio show here. So, yeah, it's funny how I've been doing this now 5.5 years now here on the radio station at North Shore 104.9. And it's amazing how people get familiar with the whole financial advice in a language you can understand. And the Friedman, that's two E's and a D, financial.com. Well, one of the things that people really enjoyed last week and last week's show was this story that I told about a handout that we're now sending to clients and to prospects, anybody who wants it. We'll just email it out to you. It almost looks like a house puzzle. It's called getting your financial house in order. Because oftentimes when you're working with a financial advisor, you're thinking, oh my God, he's just going to focus on my investment account, or maybe he'll help me with the rollover from my 401k, or maybe I just inherited some money and I need to do something with it. Well, that's what an investment guy does. When you're listening to Dollars and Cents, when you're listening to me, Friedman Financial, a certified financial planner, my advice has to be far beyond investment advice. Yeah, we provide a lot of investment advice. Don't get me wrong. Our office manages close to $400 million. It's a lot of money for 450 households. But that's the money that we have under our management that doesn't encompass everything else that people have. And in order for me to be able to provide advice around those investments, I need to know the big picture of your life. And that's where getting your financial house in order comes into play. And that's how we approach it with every single client we serve. I oftentimes joke that I could pull up a net worth statement, what you're worth on paper, for every one of our 450 households. And how do we do that? Well, it incorporates these eight elements of your financial life. And I'm happy to send this puzzle to you. I'm happy to send out this package of getting your financial house in order off to you. No charge, of course. We just email it out. If you'd like to receive it, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com, sign up for my newsletter, and in the comment box, just write, send me the package, or send me the getting your financial house in order package. Or if you just, maybe you're already signed up for my newsletter and you just want to drop me an email, that's fine too. My personal email address is Mark, M-A-R-C, not M-A-R-K, M-A-R-C at friedmanfinancial.com. And you know how to spell it, Friedman, that's two E's and a D, financial.com. Well, let me go through this getting your financial house in order matrix with you so you can get a feel for what it all looks like. The first thing you need to do to get your financial house in order is ask yourself, why am I doing this? What are some of the goals that I'm trying to accomplish? And I'm not talking about a goal that just says, well, I want to retire. That's nice. So does everybody. So how does that become a goal? Or, hey, I got to pay for my kid's wedding. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You don't know that that's going to happen just yet until they get to be that age. A lot of things that you need to clarify on. So we try to frame your goals into the broad ideas and then try to even crystallize them down even further. So what's a short-term goal? A short-term goal might be, I want to go on a family vacation next year. And that family vacation includes taking five people to Disney World in the month of October. Okay, now we're trying to define that. So what is that going to cost? What does the airline ticket cost? What does the park ticket cost? What does all of that stuff cost? Or I want to retire at age 68, and I'm not sure whether I want to take Social Security or not. I know when I retire, I don't want to retire completely from a paycheck. I just want to retire from my current job. I want to have what I call an encore career. I want to get to do for the next 4 or 5 years stuff that I love to do. And it really won't be about the money, though I think I should get paid for it. It'll be just doing what I love doing. And it won't be about being the highest paid guy in the room anymore or being overly compensated. Just recognizing my work and being able to have some of that income. Maybe it's from Social Security. Maybe it's being able to travel. Maybe it's being able to help the kids with a 529 contribution or helping them with college costs, whatever it is. We try to help and define those goals. That's number one. Number two is making sure that you know where everything is and what everything is worth. What does your net worth look like? What do you have? It's not about a number. It used to be this thing that Lee Eisenberg wrote a book called The Number. I remember there was ING used to have some commercials that walked around and people used to have a number above their head. What's your number? The number doesn't mean much because that isn't what determines whether you can retire or not. But what the number is important for is helping you understand where you stand financially. Everything you own, not just your investment account, but your bank account, cash value of life insurance, the value of your home, the value of your jewelry, any types of stuff you owe, your mortgage, credit card debt, student loan debt, automobile loans, all of that kind of stuff. Adding it all up, everything you own less everything you owe, that's called your net worth. So that's number two. Number three is what's called cash flow. And this is the one that nobody wants to talk about. How much money do you need to cover your spending on an annual basis? Oh, well, it's different every year. That's too hard to do. Things come up. You know what? It does ultimately average out. But there's only a finite amount of money. that can come into your household on a month-to-month basis. That finite amount of money is dictated by what you earn, or perhaps distributions you might receive from investment accounts, dividends you collect, whatever it is, there's generally a finite amount that comes in that you can say this is for certain. But there's oftentimes an infinite amount of ways in which you can spend your money, because credit cards allow you to do more than what comes in, don't they? So are you living within your means? Are you finding that your bank account and your investment accounts are growing each year, or are they depleting? Having nothing to do with what the market performance is, are they growing or are they depleting based upon whether you've added money to them or taken money out? One of the things you need to do is find out how much you spend on a month-to-month basis. We can help you do that. So all part of what a financial planning analysis is and getting your financial house in order goes through helping you understand your goals, letting you know where you stand financially, that's your net worth, and understanding how you're spending your money. Not what you're buying at the grocery store. Not how much money you're spending on having your nails done or getting your groceries or how much you spend on golf or skiing or theater passes or whatever it is. It's the aggregate. How much money comes in less how much money goes out. The next part of this, though, is understanding how taxes impact your financial life. And this is one of those really interesting things right now. So many people believe that they're going to pay more in taxes this year than ever before, despite the fact that tax rates have gone down and the president has implemented a new tax policy. And I think you're being a little bit critical here. I think many people, certainly those that are making under $120,000, which is frankly, get this, 90% of the U.S. households in America make under $120,000 a year. Only 10% make more than $120,000 a year for a household. Those that are making under $120,000, my guess is your taxes are going to go down. Now, some might say it's crumbs. Maybe you'll spend less, $50 less. Maybe it'll cost you $200 less in taxes. But if you take your $200 and you multiply it times the 90% of the population that's going to benefit, that's billions, maybe even trillions of dollars that are going back into our system here at the government to help cover other costs. Where's it going to cost more for taxes? It's going to be the wealthy. The wealthy, believe it or not, even though it was framed that the wealthy are going to pay less taxes, the wealthy are actually going to pay more in taxes. Certainly a lot of them will. But you need to understand how the taxes impact you, not the society, not the region, not the district. How is it going to impact you? And do you have the ability to run that scenario right now? Here we are halfway through the year. Do you know whether you'll be paying more or less in taxes this year? Well, here's a way for you to figure it out. What we do here on the show is we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm going to point you to a website right now, and it's a website that we're starting to upload onto our website at home. I mean, not at home, at the office. We're also sharing it out to others. The website is called Dinky Town. Yeah, it's a funny name. DINKYTOWN. DinkyTown.com. You click on the button that says 1040 2018 taxes. They have a calculator that's out there. Very simple calculator to use. All you got to do is put in your information and you can see what your tax liability is going to look like this year. Then you also can look at the 2017 calculator. Now, don't put in what your 2017 information was into your 2018 calculator because you won't get the right answer. Put in your 2017 information into your 2017 calculator. Take a look at what the tax liability was. Go to the 2018, project what you think your 2018 tax income might be, and you'll see that you're going to save some money. I think you'll be really surprised there. That's dinkytown.com, DINKYTOWN.com. We're sitting here talking about getting your financial house in order. And I want you to be sure that you understand that when you work with a financial advisor or when you're trying to plan your financial future, it takes a lot more than just investments. We've gone through the first four, and I'm going to save the last four for the end of our show, because coming up in the next segment is a person I wanted to have on a couple weeks ago. I talked about an app that he's developed to teach our kids about money. It's a great app. It's a great tool that you can use with your children, with your grandchildren, whatever it might be. The app is called BusyKid, BUSYKID.com. The president and founder of this company, Greg Mercet, will be with us when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right at 41 Cross Street, right up above the beautiful Alto Forno Restaurante, which is, overlooks the North Shore Mall. That's right. We're on the second floor. Just two stories to our building. The restaurant's on the first floor. We're on the second floor. Got a great view of what's going on at the mall. And if you haven't heard yet, Sears is gone. Well, it's going, but it is liquidating, and they're going to blow up the building, and it's going to become, believe it or not, you know what it's becoming? I told you it was going to become Lifetime Fitness, but actually where Sears is going to become a parking lot. Seriously, Sears is going to become a parking lot, and so imagine where the end of Sears sticks out. That's where Lifetime Fitness will start. It'll be its own little freestanding building right in the middle of the parking lot, so it'll be a lot easier access for you to walk the entire promenade of the mall. You saw how they've been building out the promenade over with Tony C's and Bancroft and all these others that are popping up. The promenade will continue all the way to Macy's. So long way to go, a lot of work to be done, but exciting things happening over at the North Shore Mall, and I get to view it all from the treetop office that I have overlooking the North Shore Mall. We are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And during each of our shows, we try to bring you some features and some stuff that relates to money that sometimes isn't just investment related, because we all know that money touches us in a lot of different ways, whether it's your elderly parents, whether it's getting married, whether it's planning for a graduation, or even teaching your kids about allowance. And that's one of those tough ones, isn't it? You know, how do we talk to our kids about money? Mom and dad, you know, want to try to give advice to kids all the time, but they're the last ones that are going to listen to you until, of course, you can create an incentive. And that's what we've done today. We have brought on Greg Mercet. Greg Mercet is with BusyKid. It's a great app that talks about being able to allow your kids to get paid for doing chores around the house through an app that's available to them. The kids can communicate. Parents can communicate. I talked about it last week on my show, and I said, we got to get Greg on the show. So, Greg, welcome to Dollars and Cents.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thanks. And, Greg, where are you calling from? You're in where? Arizona?
Arizona. We're burning alive down here, but, you know, this is just what we deal with.
Yeah, it's, 120 degrees, but it's a dry heat, right?
It's totally true, okay? It really is not that bad. Yeah. It's only 111 today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Silly me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this whole BusyKid app, I actually was at home, as I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago. It was Father's Day. I'm watching the news, and this little segment about BusyKid pops up on the Channel 4 WBZ, which is the CBS affiliate app. I mean, CBS affiliate TV station, and they're doing this story your app. Tell me about the app. Well, how did you get it started? Tell me about this whole thing.
So here's the thing: it's just so complicated these days. It seems like to be able to teach kids about money, and parents are really struggling with it. And I think it's primarily because of one thing. And that one thing is that kids don't see money anymore. It's like invisible. So us as parents are trying to teach our kids about something they never see, and it's really difficult. And you add that combined with the fact that, you know, kids don't have to seem to do as much these days, you're kind of really missing this amazing opportunity to teach your kids about work ethic and how to be smart with their money. And so that's what we decided. We've got to figure this out to make allowance simplified, because right now it's complicated, it's invisible for kids, and nobody's getting it.
What do you mean by invisible,
Greg? Those things. You know, money used to be something that parents would pull out of their pockets or their purse and slap on the, you know, register. Now it's just somebody's swiping a card or tapping their phone and, you know, beep, beep, and it all just moves, right? So gone are the days that parents should be teaching their kids about money with an old-fashioned piggy bank on their dresser and dropping coins into there, stuffing a dollar bill. Like, that's just not how the real world is anymore. So we have to teach kids with digital money, and it's literally just numbers on a screen. And they've got to figure out the fact that those numbers on a screen don't just appear. You've got to get off the couch and go do something, earn that money, and then make really good decisions with it. And it's all invisible. But they have to learn it that way, because that's reality.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've got a bunch of kids, and so you kind of, I think that's the story of how you landed upon this app. You've got what, six kids?
Yeah, so I have six kids, and my goal in life is to get them out of my house. Okay, so
Fair enough. I want
them to get out of my house and never come back, except to visit once in a while, because that equals success. If they can fly on their own, then they can be successful. And the two things that I think are going to get them to that point, more than anything, is being able to work, establish that work ethic, and make good financial decisions. If they can get those two things down, they're going to be on the path to getting out of my house.
And thus was created Busy Kid.
Yeah, exactly right. Get them busy, doing stuff that they need to do, and getting them smart with money. And it really is an amazing thing. When you mentioned this when we first started, if you align the incentives properly with a kid, you got to watch out, because they really will catch on to that and make it happen. This is not something that they're going to learn in school. I think this is one thing that's just very, it's just horrible that there's a blame game going on with school. Parents think the school should be teaching this stuff because it's a good life skill that they need to understand and learn. And school looks at the parent and thinks, why don't you guys teach them? We don't want to teach them that. We're teaching them history and how to speak French. So there's a blame game going on, and who's stuck in the middle? The kid. And the kid is the one losing out. So that's the kind of thing that we feel we fill that void and really give the parent the tool to help teach that stuff in a real practical way, not some virtual reality, not some game. This is the real deal. This is where you learn real life skills.
Yeah, we're talking with Greg Mercet, who's the president and CEO, I guess, of Busy Kid. BusyKid.com, which is a website that you can go to, but an app that you can download so that you can work with your children about managing their allowance. It's a very, very cool app. I actually played with it with my son, Corey. We downloaded it a couple weeks ago, and it was really interesting. I was asking Corey what he thought of it and how he's working out with it, and he thought it was pretty interesting, because one of the things that Corey is famous for, every day he goes and he's watching TV downstairs, he brings a cup with him of some water or something to drink, and he brings a bowl of ice cream, and then when it's time for Corey to go to bed, Corey gets up, turns off the TV, and goes to bed, and he leaves the cup and the bowl. I'm sure every family is familiar with that. So when I say to Corey, I said, Corey, I said, you left the cup and the bowl out. He says, yeah, I meant to do that. Well, now there's an incentive. Now there's an incentive for Corey to not only pick up the cup and the bowl, but fold the blanket, put it back on the couch. And if that's all done, Corey earns a part of this allowance. And so we have it down as, let's say, 50 cents for the day for him to be able to do that. And so when he does it, and I'm sure I'm going to have you explain how this app works in a second, Greg, but, you know, he hits the button, notifies us that he's done the job. It starts to tally up in his bank, his Busy Kid bank. But the funniest thing was, as I said to Corey, I said, you know, there's a few ways that you could make some extra money around the house. You know, we need to vacuum the pool. And he says, "What you mean you'd pay me to vacuum the pool?" I said, "Well, yeah, it'll be part of your allowance." He says, "I'm in." And he didn't care whether it was $25 or 75 cents. The whole fact was that there was an incentive for him to do it. And I think that's what makes this app so great, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, think of it. What do we do as adults? We all go to work, right? And I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't go to work if I didn't get paid. I mean, that's just kind of how life is, right? And so this is what we're teaching these kids at a very early age. I think what you should do is have him not only bring his ice cream dish to the sink, have him wash all the dishes that are in the sink.
Oh, that's part of it, too. Right? You're absolutely right.
I like that.
That's also part of it. So
add that on tonight.
Absolutely. I'll talk to him about it.
This is the way I describe Busy Kid is literally your kid's first job with direct deposit. Okay, so let me describe that.
Your kid's literally first job with direct deposit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, so imagine your kid actually prying himself out of the couch and going and doing some stuff, right? Taking out the trash from sweeping the pool and cleaning up after the dog, you know, whatever you want them to do. They do that stuff. And then every Thursday morning, you're going to get a text message that says, "Hey, Corey has earned $20 this week. Do you want to pay him, yes or no?" And all you have to do as a parent is type back yes. And that money gets pulled out of your checking account or off your debit or credit card into our system, into the BusyKid system, and then literally allocates the money into three different buckets: saving, sharing, and spending. That is total reality, okay? This is finance 101. That's what all of us do as adults. We go to work, we earn some money, we put some money in our 401k or whatever, and we save, and then we give to charity or church, we share, and then we spend the rest, okay? That is exactly what we facilitate automatically. So the money goes into those buckets automatically. So hence you have your kid's first job cleaning up and doing stuff around your house and direct deposit right into that and splitting it up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It really simplifies that whole thing.
And just before we get into what the three buckets are and how that all works, I wanted to, you know, you mentioned how you get a text message on Thursday, which I did last week. I got a text message and I had to either just say yes or no. But before I hit yes or no or any time in between that, I can go in and take a look to make sure I see what Corey has requested, what he's done. And if, for instance, Corey says to me, "Well, Dad, I made my bed this morning," you know, he'll hit the little button that says, "I made my bed," and that's worth, say, 50 cents. And I go up to his room after he's left for school and I realize he lied. I can take that away.
He would never do that.
No.
What are you talking about?
But I can decline it too, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely decline it. Isn't that great? You can just literally say deny.
Yeah, that's right.
And it takes that 50 cents away, right?
That's right. So you can still be a parent here. I mean, you can still use it as a learning tool also. But so explain what happens. So you get that $20 that gets allocated to you, that gets approved by the parents, and then they have a choice of putting it into save, share, and spend, I think. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
So how does that work?
Right. Once the money goes into the bucket, then this is where kids start understanding how money works and how to make financial decisions. So in the save area, we have the amazing ability for kids to buy fractional shares of stock. I think this is super cool, not only cool, but it's just such an amazing learning opportunity for them. They can go in there and instead of, you know, saving up for half their life to buy one share of Amazon stock that costs $1,000, they can go in and buy $25 or $50 worth of Amazon stock. And that is such an amazing thing for a kid to start learning about, so that they can buy stock in their favorite brand and start really learning how that all works. And don't we want them to learn at kind of that lower level so they can understand that stuff, so when they get their first job, real job, and have a 401k, and they're going to say, "Oh, wait, I know how this works. I bought some Amazon stock, I bought Netflix, I bought Tesla, I got whatever, and it grew, and it did this, it did that." Even if it loses a little money, then they can learn that lesson. It's just such a great place for them to understand the stock market and how that stuff works.
Yeah, so, and the opportunity to invest.
They can do that stuff.
Yeah, Yeah, the opportunity to invest in these fractional shares is something that's really important. I know many people who have listened to my show, we talk about the fact that I'm not a big fan of buying individual stocks for your portfolio, but this is different. But there's a lot of things that are different about this app and a lot more that I want to talk about. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm celebrating my 27th year doing this. My business partner, Marion, who you've heard here on the show several times, is she's been with me since 2000. And yes, just want to report, Marion did donate a kidney last week, and it was very successful. Everything is good. Her husband received a new kidney. He is doing great. All is well. Marion's just, she says it takes a little while for her to catch her breath sometimes. She just has to get used to it all. But she will be back up and running. And actually, she's back in the office starting on Monday. So she's delighted to hear from you if you happen to want to send her some well wishes as well. And I'm hoping to get her back here on the show in the next couple weeks. Over at Friedman Financial, we got lots of things going on. Our newsletter continues to come out each and every Friday, 10:30 in the morning. If you want to receive it, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website and fill in your name and your email address. And if you want to send me a message, you can do that too. But we'll get that newsletter sent out to you along with the 7,500 other people who receive my newsletter each and every Friday. We've been doing this, it's hard to believe, been doing the online version since March of 2009. We've exceeded 500 issues of our newsletter that we write in-house each and every week. One of the stories that we appeared on the newsletter last week was a story about this really cool allowance app, and it's called BusyKid. What amazed me was the number of people that actually clicked on the link because they wanted to learn a little bit more, and we thought, hey, wouldn't it be excellent if we could bring the person who's developed this app to our show, and that's where we have Greg Mercet on the radio with us today. Greg, thanks for being
here. Hey, Mike. Yeah, you bet. It's been fun.
Yeah, so let's just recap real quickly for those that are just joining us. You said BusyKid is designed for, think about it this way, it's your kid's first job with direct deposit. It's all about allowances. Why don't you give a quick recap again of what BusyKid does and why the app exists?
Yeah, I love to kind of tell people that BusyKid is just that, your kid's first job with direct deposit, because you know what, when they're 10, 11, 13, they can't get a real job. And so you give them a job around your house, let them do chores, good old-fashioned chores, get them off the couch. I think that's one thing that parents are struggling with too, is kids seem to be so sucked into their devices as a big time waster, you know, scrolling Instagram or just messing around with Snapchat or whatever. Why not use that technology in a very productive way? Give them stuff to do. Let them start understanding what work is, and then align their incentives with money. And as they do that, our app will send out a text message to you as a parent every Thursday that says, hey, Johnny earned $20 this week. Want to pay him yes or no? All you have to do as a parent is say yes, and that pulls the money directly from your checking account or your debit credit card into our system and literally allocates their money into saving, sharing, and spending automatically. It just makes that whole process easy and simple.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I've set it up for my son. I did it a couple of weeks ago, and I learned about this. Perhaps you can explain how this spend, share, and save functionality works, Greg.
Yeah, so when the money comes in and it splits up into those three big buckets, I like to explain that is reality. That's like what all of us should be doing, right? This is finance 101. Money comes into our pockets. We need to save some for retirement or for that rainy day or whatever. We share some with the charities and church or whatever that we care about, and then we spend the rest. I mean, that is reality. So that's what we're teaching with BusyKid. So that money comes in, divides up in the buckets. In the save area, kids can buy fractional shares of stock, which I think is very cool, and start learning the equities market. In the share area, they can donate money to charities that we have partnerships with. And then in the spend area, they can actually transfer money onto their own Visa spend card. And
it
this
works great.
Is where the rubber meets the road. It really does when it comes to spending.
So explain to me how this whole spend card works.
Yeah, so think of it this way. Your kid who's 11 or 13 or 14 has a literal card in their pocket, just like you do. Mm-hmm. And they can go into the app and they can click on one button that says transfer money to card. They tap on that button and they have money in their spend bucket. So how much of that do they want on their card? Let's say they want $25 on their spend card. They tap a button up to 25 and then they click submit. And what does that do? That once again sends a text message to the parent that says, Johnny wants 25 bucks on his spend card. Are you okay with that? Yes or no? So you get that kind of approval, right? All you have to do as a parent, type back yes. Boom, the money goes out of his spend bucket onto that card instantaneously.
But as a parent, you remain having control over this money. It's not like you're giving a kid a free-for-all. But once it's on their spend card, once it is on their spend card, they can spend it any way they want, right? There's no more control after that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly right. So this is a great teaching opportunity, right? So there's enough control in there as a parent so that you can feel like you know what's going on, right? You get to approve that stuff as it happens. But you're not, you know, helicopter over them, over every little purchase. So if they want to go to the mall with their friends or they want to go to the movies and they want to do this thing, they can make those financial decisions. And then, once again, you can pull up on the app and see where it was spent.
Mm-hmm.
You look on the activity stream and you can see, oh, he spent $22 at the movies. And that's a great conversation starter, right? Why'd you spend 22 bucks at the movies? I thought the ticket was $7.50, right? Boom, you can start talking about, you know, maybe you're wasting your money on candy. Is that really that great of a decision?
Right.
Et cetera, right? Great place to start a conversation.
And that's where my kids...
You're empowering them to make their own decision.
Yeah, that's why I know my kids know that when we go to the movies, our first stop is at Walgreens or CVS, where you can buy that same box of candy for a buck rather than $4.50 at the movie theater. And they're like, why do we have to do this? It's like, well, when you start spending your money, you'll understand. And and that's one of those great
exactly.
lessons. It's a great
yeah,
thing to teach
exactly.
them.
That's a really good example, right? I mean, why not stop at the CVS and have them buy their own thing of milk duds? You know what I mean?
And if then
they're going to say, why don't we stop at CVS? Because I don't want to get ripped off at the movie theater.
That's exactly right, because it's now all of a sudden it's their money. So tell
their money.
That's right. So explain again on this app. So how does the chore thing work? You have some preset chores that people can select. I know you can modify them and adjust them. But what does a parent do to try to set up this app? Or what's the conversation maybe that they should be having with their kids to talk about the effectiveness of this app?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we've done is we've actually kind of done the hard work where we pitch you chores. Like we literally say, oh, this kid's 11. We're pitching you the chores that a typical 11-year-old would do. And we're also pitching you the amount that a typical 11-year-old would earn for that chore, right? So we've kind of done the heavy lifting, and all it is literally parents just scrolling through that pre-populated list and tapping the plus sign next to the chore or not. Literally, that's all you have to do is just add what you want, ignore what you don't.
And it's fully customizable.
And it makes it easy. And it's totally customizable. So if you wanted to, and you can do custom ones too. So if you wanted to, instead of our job that says feed the pet, you can literally create your own job that says feed Fido.
Mm-hmm.
and then you can also change the amount for any of those jobs. So literally you can go in and I'm kind of a cheapskate. Kind of sounds like you might be too, Mark, with the CVS candy stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah. I am.
I might be okay with having the car washed for $8. But maybe somebody else wants to give them 12. Okay, whatever. Change it.
Yeah.
It's very flexible.
And the other thing that I like on it is you have the opportunity to set this up as a daily responsibility or an as-needed responsibility. For instance, like we have trash day once a week, of course. And so Corey's job is to take out the trash on Wednesday night because trash comes on Thursday. And so he has that task just for that one day every week. So
you just tap on weekly, mm-hmm. you touch on Wednesday, and boom, it comes up every Wednesday.
And then all
great,
of a,
right?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden what ends up happening, I believe, is once the kids get into this idea of being able to earn some extra money, all of a sudden their eyes are starting to roam around the house thinking, what other things could I be doing around the house? And sometimes just by accident they start doing it, and you have this bonus function that's built into the app as well. So why don't you explain that?
Yeah. So You hit on a great point. This is like the launch pad for entrepreneurialism, right? Once they start connecting the dots, like, holy smokes, I can earn some money if I do other stuff and work. Like, that's what you want to, like, nurture in your kid is that entrepreneurial, like, I want to hustle. I want to get stuff done. I want to make some money, right? That's a great thing to have in your kid. And when you see that happening, or you want to incentivize them even more, you can use our bonus feature. It's like one of our most popular features. So literally all you do is pull up the app, you click on the kid, and you say send bonus. And then you can just type in the amount you want to send them, $25. Maybe he got straight A's. Maybe she got a great, you know, report card this semester. And you've said, hey, here's the deal. You get an A, I pay you $10. And you got six A's, that's $60. Fantastic. Tap on send bonus, put in 60. There's a little note section where you can make a comment where you can say, hey, great job on the straight A's. Send, boom. The money pulls from your account, goes right into the system, allocates in their buckets, done.
You know what's also interesting is, as I'm sitting here thinking, is that oftentimes grandma or even parents, well, they'll hand the kids $10 or $20. And oftentimes they lose that money, don't they? It gets stuck in a drawer, lost under the bed. One of the brothers steals it from the other one. You know, there's all this stuff that happens. When it goes on their card, it gets connected, and it's theirs. They can't lose it.
Exactly right. They can't lose it. You know what? And even if they lose their card, they order another one, and money's still there.
Right?
Exactly right. It's a great way to do it. And once again, that's reality. That's like what we all do. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't carry around a wad of cash in my pocket, mm-hmm. or especially not a bunch of change.
That's right.
That's just annoying, right? So we don't do that anymore. So why would we ever think that teaching kids in that way, it's just antiquated. Like, that ship has sailed a long time ago. We're in a new digital age, and that's how we have to teach them.
We are. We're talking with Greg Mercet, who's the president and founder of Busy Kid. It's an app. That teaches kids allowance, teaches kids about allowance and can fund the allowance to them directly through a variety of different electronic means. Greg, you know, many people are probably listening to this show and they're thinking, well, what does this whole thing cost? Maybe you can help people walk through this thing.
Yeah, so you probably think it's pretty expensive because we do a lot of stuff, but here's the deal. It's only $14.95 for the family for the year, and that's regardless of how many kids you have. So I'm getting tired of being discriminated because I've got six kids. I figured, you know what, one size for all. So $14.95 for the family for the whole year. Each spend card is only $5 per kid per year. We've really made this low cost, so really any family can use this to teach their kids these valuable lessons, because we are just so passionate in those two big things, which is teaching kids work ethic, and then once they get that, how to make good financial decisions. Those two things are the secret recipe to get kids to be successful and, once again, out of your house for good.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. We really appreciate your time, the information that you provided. And Greg is with BusyKid.com, or the Busy Kid app, BusyKid is the app, through the App Store, either through Google or through Amazon, not through Amazon, through Apple. Google is, I don't know, you know how to play that game. Greg, thank you
Android
so much.
Android and Apple.
Yeah, that's right, Android and Apple, thank you. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. We've got to take a quick break. When we're back, I'm going to talk to you about this new story that I heard about, which is called 8,000 Days. Could you imagine measuring your life in 8,000-day increments? We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and I want to thank Greg Mercette for being part of our show this past Sunday. Thank you to Greg. I hope you like the information that he provided to you. The website is busykid.com, B-U-S-Y-K-I-D.com. If you'd like to learn more about his allowance app that's out there. During the first segment of the show, I was talking about getting your financial house in order. I walked through the first steps of what it takes to get your financial house in order. I'm going to recap them briefly, and then I'm going to jump into the last four, and then I'm going to tell you about a little story that's called 8,000 Days, How to Break Your Life Up into 8,000 Days. It's from a presentation that I saw this past week while I was visiting Wharton University. I was a student at Wharton for 3 days during a leadership training, and I saw this. It was awesome. All right, the getting your financial house in order. We've talked about the first four steps during segment one. They are, number one, getting your goals aligned. Number two, figuring out your net worth, knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. Number three, cash flow, knowing what comes into the household less what goes out of the household. And number four was understanding the tax liability that you have to pay, not what the rest of the world has to pay, not what your neighbors pay, not what your grandmother pays, but what you pay. And if you'd like to get, by the way, this whole matrix and this understanding, this whole booklet that I've put together, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Just sign up for the newsletter at the bottom of any page. And in the box below, just say, send me the package of getting your financial house in order, and I'll be sure that we email that out to you. If you've already signed up for the newsletter and you want this anyways, go to my website. Email me at Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Mark at friedmanfinancial.com. Financial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. I almost forgot who I was for a minute. All right, the last four items in this getting your financial house in order matrix. Number five is, of course, investments. Look, you need to know whether you have the right asset allocation, whether the risk profile of your portfolio is aligned to your goals. You need to have a conversation with yourself about, do I want to be tactical or do I want to be strategic? Tactical means you're going to pick sectors. You're going to pick different regions of the market, of the world, whatever it is, to try to pick and outpace somebody else. I'm not all about that because I don't know. You don't know. Trust yourself. You don't know. If you knew, you'd be wealthy. You wouldn't be having this conversation right now. You'd be out floating in Tahiti somewhere, enjoying your money. Asset allocation, buying and holding, building strategies that work with low-cost investments, managing your risk to your reward is the way to do this. We can help you do it, but if you want to do it on your own, there's lots of tools out there that can help you with that too. Part five, insurance. This is one of the most overlooked areas, I think, of anybody's financial plan. Will you protect yourself? Will you protect your family? How many people do you know, or have you ever met someone who's died at an early age and didn't prepare to leave any money for the rest of the family? I think we all know somebody that's been through that situation and how terrible it was. But it's not just about life insurance. It's about automobile and homeowners insurance and umbrella insurance, disability insurance. You want to make sure that you're protected not only for yourself, but also for your family and for your loved ones. The fourth part, and that's the big one, that's the one where you're going to spend 8,000 days of your life. Think about that. 8,000 days of your life will be in retirement. What will you do for those 8,000 days? It's not going to be about income anymore for many people. It'll be about pension. It'll be about Social Security. It'll be about drawing money from your IRA, what's called required minimum distributions, taking money from your account. Maybe it is working part-time. How will you live your life in retirement? Not about even the financial part of it, but what are you going to do that's non-financial? Here's the big question. I ask this question all the time of people who are planning for retirement. What do you and your partner like doing together that doesn't include eating out? Think about that. What do you like to do together? And all of a sudden, when you're confronted with that question and you're about to face retirement, it all of a sudden got a lot scarier because you thought to yourself, what the heck are we going to do? I go off to work every day. She does her things either around the house or has another part-time job. She does her work or goes out with her friends, whatever it is. But now we're going to be looking at each other, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. sleeping a little bit later, staring at each other all day long. What are we going to do? We can get fat and hang out on the couch and watch TV and eat food, or we can get out and do stuff. What is the stuff that we like to do together? And if you don't know that, important question to ask. The last part of getting your financial house in order is, of course, getting your estate in order. Now, I'm not talking about trusts, though they can be a part of that. What I'm talking about is some of the most important legal documents that you can have drafted. You know what those are? Yeah, a will's nice. You got to have a will. But how about a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy? The likelihood of you using a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy are very probable at some point. At some point, you may not be able to sign your name. At some point, you may be traveling. At some point, you may be in a car accident and can't perform mental capacity issues that require somebody to make decisions on your behalf. Your power of attorney and your healthcare proxy are items that are going to be important documents during various times in your life. Make sure that you're comfortable with the person who you've appointed. Make sure that the documents have been written by an attorney. Make sure that they're updated on a regular basis. I still don't want to have my mom and dad as my powers of attorney. I'm 52 years old now. I think it's okay to have my wife as power of attorney. And I'm even okay having Mindy, my 22-year-old daughter, filling in if Laura can't do it. I'm not ready to turn it over to my brother or somebody else if Laura can't do it. These are very, very, very important documents. As a financial planner, as a certified financial planner, we are prepared to provide you advice and guidance in a language you can understand in all areas that I've just discussed. Yes, investments is a very important part of it, and we manage a lot of money at Friedman Financial. But when we manage money for you, you are also taking care of all of the other financial planning needs you have. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, and we'd be happy to schedule a free initial consultation for you, or even send you out some information, our information kit as well. So one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is a story and a presentation that I saw that comes out of the MIT Age Lab. The MIT Age Lab is run by a gentleman by the name of Joe Coughlin, who's been doing this for a long time. And what he does is he starts to think about the number of people that will be aging, that will be retiring in the years that come, or that are already retired, and how our world is going to have to adjust and change to accommodate them. Think about how many retirement communities there are today. Think about how many more handicapped spots are appearing on every new driveway that gets paved. Think about the new rules around the American Disabilities Act. Think about how many readers, how many places you can go to find readers in any store. Think about how much bigger the font type is on menus. And have you been lately to a lot of these restaurants where the menu lights up from behind, or they hand you an iPad so you can read your menu? We need to adapt to an aging culture. Well, one of the things that was rather interesting that they had put together was a group called 8,000 Days. What 8,000 days represented was, they said, in total, in your entire life, you're likely to have 32,000 days in your life. And break it down into groups. The first 8,000 days incorporates, of course, being born, going to school, enjoying your teenage years, and attending college. That's what you do in the first 8,000 days of your life. It's pretty well defined. You know what you're going to do. The second area, the second 8,000 days, which is called the growing phase, you're going to start a career, whatever your job might be. You might even get into a relationship and get married. You'll probably buy a home, and perhaps you'll have children. That's what you do in that second phase, that growing phase. In the maturing phase, this is the next few years, you're now entering the prime career years of your life. This is like your 50s. You're enjoying income. You can buy a bigger car. You can own a bigger house. You can go on nicer vacations. Maybe even grandkids are starting to enter into the picture, and you're about ready to retire from your job. Those are all things that you could say, these are the things that I can plan and imagine doing. I can imagine doing this for the first 8,000 years. What I'm supposed to do, go to school, learn about stuff, become a teenager, enjoy my teenage years. My next phase of my life, 18 to 36 years old, 36 to 40. I'm going to get my first job. I'm going to get married. I'm going to start to have kids. How about 40 to 56, 58? You're going to be in the prime years of your life, right? But now all of a sudden, 60 to 65 comes around. And it's that next 8,000 days of your life. So think about that. What do you do for the last 8,000? What is everybody expected to do during the last 8,000 days? Can everybody say the same thing? No. It's different now. You're not having kids. You're not about to find your first job. You may be a grandparent, but what is all about you? And it's funny, the last 8,000 days of your life are hard to define because they're different for everybody. We call this the exploring phase, and I thought it was very interesting. Let me read to you what comes out of the exploring phase. And let me turn to this thing. And then all of a sudden, the last phase of your life, the last 8,000, those final ones, it's called the solo journey. Because whether we like it or not, one of us as a partner is going to be left alone. And how will you handle that? Let me read to you something that comes here out of the longevity phase. In the third retirement phase, there's four phases to this whole thing. Four phases to the phases of retirement, if we break it down that way in these 8,000 days. The first is what's called the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase is characterized by resources and well-being comparable to life during full-time work. You shift responsibilities. You have a desire to pursue existing and new interests. And additionally, healthy life years often allow for more freedom. Probably true. It is an also opportune time to anticipate and safeguard against potential decreases in resources in the future through planning. Think about this. Baby boomers, even in their retirement years, have increasingly been described as the sandwich generation because of their responsibilities in continuing to support adult children in addition to caring for frail aging parents. Today, 28% of adult children provide help to their aging parents. So that's the honeymoon phase of retirement. Then comes the big decision phase. Usually comes around age 70, 72 or so. Second retirement phase is best described as the more free time. It's unstated. It's a key time for making big decisions. It takes shape as work fades and you begin to think, do I want to relocate? Do I want to downsize? Do I want to enjoy some of these vacations right now while I'm healthy because I know things will change? Because then you phase into what's called the longevity phase. This is the logistics of managing health. And it may even become a full-time job with increased medical appointments, medication management, and increased mobility challenges. It takes up a lot of time. And then, of course, that last phase, the solo journey. In the fourth retirement phase, health or physical issues can quickly and abruptly come to the forefront as a catastrophic event, such as a fall or stroke, can immediately change needs and lifestyles. Serious illness or disability of a spouse will greatly impact the well-being and safety of the household. This is what we call the 8,000 Days Project. We're going to be talking more about this in the weeks and months to come as we do other shows here. I've got a workbook, I've got information to share, and in fact, I'm even thinking about putting together a free seminar for our listeners to come to see and understand how this 8,000 Days program works. So stay tuned. Be with us. Continue to listen to the show. We will continue to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning. But for now, if you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the website. Go to the scroll down to the bottom of any of our pages there. You can put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you our free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30. And of course, if you'd like to get our information package that includes getting your financial house in order, drop me an email, Mark@FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. And that's going to do it for us. I got to make room for Wicked Bites. We'll be back next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.